welcome, and thank you for listening to this message from Waxhaw Bible Church. We would be honored to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 6810 Pleasant Grove Road, Waxhaw, North Carolina. Sunday school is at 9 a.m., and our worship gathering is at 10:45 a.m.
What do you think about this statement? People are not thankful for what they do not value. What do you think about that? True? Any thoughts? People are not thankful for what they do not do. I'm sorry? Less thankful? Sure, if there's no cost, then it doesn't really have a value for you, right? You don't recognize that, okay? Oh, that's okay. People are thankful for only what they value. Okay, good. How about this one? People are not thankful for what they think they deserve. People are not thankful for what they think they deserve. That's entitlement, yeah. True. You could probably go to any restaurant in the United States today and see that, right? When we think we deserve something, I go to a restaurant and I pay somebody to serve me a meal. That's what I deserve. I'm paying for it. So why should I be thankful for that, right? My payment should be thanks enough because that's what I deserve. This morning we're going to look at Colossians, and apparently we're going to do this very quickly. So, we are gearing up for Thanksgiving, right? And so we're launching this little mini-series here on being thankful, getting us to the point, hopefully, where we can then express our thanks in a different way, perhaps, at our Thanksgiving service when we get there. But we're going to be looking at Colossians, the book of Colossians, specifically just a couple verses in chapter 3. But to get us there, I want us to kind of back up the truck and look look through the book of Colossians very quickly to get the context of what's going on. If you look in chapter 2 of Colossians, here's what you'll find. The Apostle Paul is writing to them and addressing some difficulties that were perhaps going on, or at least trying to head them off before they became something difficult. More difficult. There seems to be some discussion in the church at Colossae between those who thought certain things were important and other people who didn't think they were so important. And there was this discussion about, you know, who was right. And it seems to be that a lot of it was centered on this. There were some false doctrines that people were presenting. Paul calls them the commandments and teachings of men. And so some people were trying to hold other people to certain things that they thought were true and right, and yet they may not have been exactly what God had said. And in fact, he uses these concepts and words to describe this discussion that was going on. There was some deception involved. There was judgment on some people's part because they were trying to hold other people to a certain standard that was not the right standard on either side. And he even uses the words self-made religion, that these things might have a certain appearance to them, but it's actually something that was not from God. And if you fast forward a little bit to chapter 3, he seems to be addressing another issue, and perhaps it's the same issue just in a different format, but there seems to be some discussion about who was part of the church, who was really part of the church. And there seems to be division over national lines or even social status or economic status. And so Paul is trying to help the Colossian believers understand that those things just don't, they're not true. They don't apply. We're all brought together. There should be no division or disruption or disunity in the church. And so he presents this solution in chapter 3 to this. And his solution is, listen, set your minds on things above. Don't focus on these earthly things. That's not going to help. Instead, set your minds on things above where Christ is. Set your minds on the things of Christ. And if we all, and he's saying to the Colossians, if we all do that, then these other things just sort of fade into insignificance. So let's set our mind on the things of Christ and the things above. And he goes on to flesh that out a little bit more, saying, what you need to do is put off the old self. You had this old habit, this old pattern of living, and you need to get rid of that. Set your minds on something else, on Christ. Put off these things. And he describes them, lists there. They focus basically on sinful or fleshly desires or attitudes or practices that we have that are part of who we are as fallen creatures. Paul says you need to put those things off. Think about what Christ has done for you and turn away from those things. And in their place, you need to put on the new self, which he summarizes as basically the character of Christ. And he lists out several things in the verses there, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the character of Christ that they were to put on. He then talks about the peace of Christ and how they were supposed to live in that with one another. And then he talks about the word of Christ and how that is supposed to influence them. And this morning we're going to focus basically on those two things, the peace of Christ and the word of Christ, and specifically how they deal with or interact with thankfulness. And so as we look at those verses, let me read them for us. This is Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So here's what Paul is saying. We need to be thankful in our attitude. We need to be thankful in our admonition. And we need to be thankful in our actions. So first of all, in our attitude, he says, be thankful in verse 15. And be thankful. Now, maybe a better way to translate this would be to become thankful. He's calling them to something. Don't just be this, but become this. It's a process. In other words, he's saying to them, I want you to make thankfulness a pattern of life. I want you to make this a habit, that you get into this habit of just being thankful. Become thankful. It should be something that characterizes us as believers. Why? Because we need to remember what God has done on our behalf. In fact, Paul uses this, the idea of thankfulness, throughout this epistle, from the very beginning to the very end. And it usually centers on this idea, remember what God has done for you. Christ has redeemed you. He's brought you out of darkness into light. That should prompt us with thankfulness in our hearts. Paul talks about us being thankful in prayer, that we go to God and share these requests, and we should express them with an attitude of thankfulness, that we can share them with God, the God who loves us and cares for us. But here in this verse, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. What's the connection between the peace of Christ and the idea of being thankful? Now, if we understand the context, and again, I think he's dealing with these divisions, this separation that was taking place or was potentially taking place in the church. I think he's talking about an attitude of corporate thankfulness. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Just as in the church in Colossae, people came from different places, different status, different parts of life, different walks of life, and they all came together in this one body, the body of Christ. We are very different as well. We, especially in this church, we come from all over. And we all come together, and yet those are not things that should divide us. They're things that we should look at and celebrate. We are all different and should be thankful for all the others. God has called each and every one of us. He says that. You were called in one body. We were all brought together into this one body. And the fact that we're diverse, the fact that there's differences, really we should celebrate that and be thankful for that. Why? Because it gives us more opportunity to be like Christ. If we were all the same, it would be very simple, very easy. But when there's differences, that provides opportunities for us to be loving and kind, especially if we have different ideas about things. If we have different beliefs, perhaps, on some of the more outside issues. If we didn't have those differences, there wouldn't really be opportunities to be loving and gracious and kind. And so I think what he's telling them is, don't divide over your differences. Instead, embrace them and be thankful for them. And use them as opportunities to put on Christ, Christ-likeness. And we should express our thanks to God for bringing us together as a church. When we do that, other people will hear that, and they will be encouraged, and then God is more glorified by all of that. And I believe that's what he's calling them to. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. As a congregation, the peace of Christ should be the norm. It should be the thing that characterizes our interactions with one another. And we should be thankful for those differences because it gives us opportunity to share that peace of Christ with one another. What if we have a lack of thankfulness to God? Well, I think that means that we don't know what God has done for us, or maybe we know, but we don't really value it. We don't care. Well, yeah, thanks. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. Okay. Or there are some people who just really don't want to know God. And this is what the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 1, that they know that there's a God, but yet they don't want to submit to him, and they're not thankful to him. Not thankful for the life that he's given, not thankful for the world that he's given to us. And that characterizes the unsaved, that they're not thankful to God. So our attitude as believers, if we understand what God has done for us on our behalf, should be thankfulness. And if we're not, maybe we don't really understand. Second thing, so our attitude should be of thankfulness, but in our admonitions, we should be thankful as well. Verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now, what does he mean by the word of Christ? Well, he's used several other ideas throughout this letter as well. In the very beginning, he talks about the word of truth, the gospel. He's talked about the word of God when it centers around Christ. In fact, he says in chapter 1, verse 27, "We proclaim him, Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom." Sounds almost exactly what he says here. That was his mission. That was his goal, was to share Christ with everyone. And you can find this, there's a great example of this in Acts chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul is in several different contexts, using the scriptures, using the word of God to share Christ. And I believe that's what he's calling them to and us to as well. Let the word of Christ, all of this is about Jesus. It's pointing to him or explaining him. It's helping us to understand. And he's saying, let the word of God richly dwell within you as a corporate body. It should be something that characterizes you and what you do. So much so that we can sing songs to one another. He says that the word of Christ should richly dwell within you. The idea of dwelling means to be at home, that the word of Christ is at home in our congregation, as he's saying to the Colossians. That it would richly dwell, that it's something that's prized or highly valued, that we would see the word of God as something so important that it just permeates everything we do and everything we say. And here the word "you" is, again, I think he's talking about this idea of corporateness. Now, this should be true of us as individuals as well, that we should prize the word of Christ, but at the same time, he's talking about them in light of these possible divisions, that we should be admonishing one another, encouraging one another, instructing one another, teaching one another with all wisdom as we use the word of Christ to teach and admonish and instruct. And out of that, when that is taking place in us, when we are so valuing God's word and sharing it with one another, he says there's going to be things that come out of that. We share psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms, he could be talking about the Old Testament. Most likely, that's what he's talking about. But he could also mean that people were writing their own, which is very possible. That the church would come together and people would share psalms that they had written with one another as an expression of praise to God. Hymns. Again, these are just songs that people would express thanksgiving to God in. We find this in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas are in prison, and what are they doing? They've been beaten, they've been thrown in jail, and and it's about midnight, and what are they doing? They're singing hymns. Thanking God. Praising God. And songs, spiritual songs. Now again, these might be things that people in the congregation had written that they were using to express things to other people, truths to other people. And Paul says you should use those. Use all of these to teach one another and help one another and instruct one another and encourage one another. That's what, as a body, the church should be doing. And so, teaching and admonishing should be accompanied by thankfulness in our hearts. It should be part of us as, again, as individuals, but as a corporate body as well, that we are thankful to God for what He's done. Thankful for opportunities, perhaps, to share the Word that He's given to us. Thankful for people who are willing to share with us and perhaps admonish us and teach us. Thankfulness should characterize all of that. And this is all, once again, a response to what God has done for us. Keeping in mind what He has done, how He has saved us, how He sent Christ to accomplish what we could never accomplish. And so in our attitude, in our admonitions, and third, in our actions. Verse 17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all using these two things, keeping these two things in mind. The first one is that you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you're doing it as he would do it. Considering all of who he is and what he has done, that should affect how we do and what we do, what we do. We're doing it in his name. We're doing it as his representatives. And so if we are, as a corporate body, working with one another, teaching one another, admonishing one another, instructing one another, encouraging one another, we do that in his name as he would do it, considering what he has done for us. And once again, that should prompt something in us. We do whatever we do, giving thanks through Jesus to God the Father. Thanksgiving should characterize everything we do. So what are some examples of whatever you do? The Apostle Paul writes, whatever you do in word or deed, what are some things that we might do? Dishes. Serve in the nursery. Help in children's church. I hear there's an opportunity for that. Drive my car. Drive other people crazy, perhaps. No. Drive, it's helping with other people, right? Serving other people, sure. Sorry? When people are delegating you. Yes. How do you respond to people? I mean, think about it. We could spend a lot of time answering the question. Whatever you do in word or deed. Now, I think he's really talking about the corporate setting. When we are together as the body of Christ, whatever we do. Now, I don't think it's simply here, but I think his emphasis is on when we come together. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and giving thanks. Don't let there be divisions. Don't let there be things that separate you. The church should be characterized by unity and thankfulness. But here's another question. Can you do all that you do in the name of Jesus and giving thanks to God while you're doing it? Are there things that perhaps I do, maybe I need a little attitude adjustment when I'm doing it? Like doing the dishes, perhaps. Right? I'm not one of my favorite activities. By the same token, is there anything that I might need to stop doing? Is there anything that I can't look? If I look at that activity and I say, wait a minute, can I do this in the name of Jesus and can I do this with thankfulness? Then maybe I need to stop doing that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul wrote to that church, he said this, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Just ponder that for a moment. God's will, here he just lays it out. It is God's will that we are thankful in everything. Now this is how the New American Standard presents it. The NIV says it a little bit differently. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. So here's a question. What if I don't like the circumstances? Give thanks in all things. Well, what if I don't like what's going on around me? God's will is that I'm thankful in all things. How can I be thankful for things that I don't really like? It is a choice. Ultimately, he works all things together for good, right? And perhaps the circumstances that I find myself in are simply an opportunity for me to see what is it that I value? Maybe the circumstances are God's way of helping me to see what it is that I appreciate, what it is that I value in life. So it may be that I'm going through a difficult time. James tells us that I'm supposed to count it all joy when I encounter various trials. Why? Because it's a test of my faith. The circumstances are simply an opportunity, a test. And I should be thankful for those tests because they're showing me something about me. Hopefully we understand this. Thanksgiving should accompany everything we do all the time. And as Paul said, that's God's will. This idea, this attitude of thankfulness is a result of appreciating what God has done and is doing. And I think that's a key to it. The idea of appreciation. Why? In order for me to be thankful, what must be true? If someone does something for me, and in order for me to respond with thankfulness, what has to be true of that? Well, number one, I have to know that somebody did something for me. Right? If I don't know about it, then I can't really express thanks for it. I have to know it. But even if I know it, there's another aspect to that. What if I know someone did something for me, but I don't really like what they did? I don't appreciate it. So in addition to knowing, I have to actually value what they have done for me. I have to be aware of it, and I have to value it. But it doesn't stop there. It may be that I know and I value it, but then what? Well, then there's something else that's really hard. I have to actually humble myself. Because it may be that I know what they did and I value it, but I'm pretty proud and I think I deserve that. They were right to do that because of who I am. So I actually have to be humble. And then there's a last step where I actually have to do something. I have to offer some expression, do some action to express that thankfulness, knowing, valuing, humility, and expression. This is what Paul is talking about here in the book of Colossians. Reminding the Colossian believers, this is what God has done for you. Do you get it? Because it should look like this. It should express itself like this, if you really get it. Now, as Paul said, we are, and as I said, we're gearing up toward our Thanksgiving service. That's going to be Tuesday, November 26th. What we would love, would you be willing to do something like this? Based on what we've read this morning, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, would you be willing to share something at the service to prepare between now and then? Now, maybe it's you go through psalms and you find a particular part of a psalm or a whole short psalm or something that is significantly meaningful with you and your relationship with God. Would you be willing to share that at the service? Or maybe you sit down and write something yourself, just as an expression of thanksgiving and praise to God. What we would love is for our service, our Thanksgiving service on that Tuesday night, to be that, where we come together as a corporate body and just express thanks to God. So between now and then, would you be thinking about that? Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a verse out of a song that's somewhere in the hymn book or somewhere. But just come prepared to share expressions of thanks to God. Maybe it's something you write yourself. Maybe it's something someone else wrote. We would like to try to do this and focus our attention in that service on God and being thankful and praising Him for what He has done. But it's not just about that service. As we've seen, it's about everything. Everything we do. Let's have this attitude of thankfulness as we go. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You. Oh, Lord, I thank You again for what You have done on our behalf by sending Christ to die for us, by sending Him to live and to show us, to model for us how to live. Lord, help us to understand that more and more, to understand what You have done, that it might change us, that we might then praise You more and more and glorify You more and more and call others to glorify You, that we might share the good news with them, that there might be more who would sing Your praises. Lord, move us. Help us to become thankful. Help us to admonish and teach and instruct and encourage one another toward this as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Waxhaw Bible Church.